The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. From the epistle for this second Sunday in Advent, Romans 15, verse 4. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. When I was a little boy, one of my favorite Christmas carols was Good King Wenceslas. Good King Wenceslas looked up on the feast of Stephen, and so on. You may remember that in the form of a conversation between King Wenceslas and his servant boy, the carol speaks of the kindness and generosity of King Wenceslas to the poor of his kingdom. I, in fact, liked this carol so much that I forced my little brother Douglas to join me in acting it out. And needless to say, I forced Doug to play the servant boy, and I was King Wenceslas. This carol was written by John Mason Neal, who was but one of many remarkable Christians in 19th century England. Neal was a poet, historian, and a superb translator of the old Greek and Latin hymns. No Easter would be complete without Neal's fine translation of those two Greek Easter hymns we know as The Day of Resurrection, Earth Tell It Out Abroad, and Come Ye Faithful, Raise the Strain of Triumphant Gladness. But Neal was not only a poet and a scholar. He was also chaplain in a home for elderly poor people, and he formed a community of nursing sisters to care for the poor in the whole countryside. Dr. Neal regularly explained the Bible to these nursing sisters, and we're told that when he did that, the sisters saw Christ and Christ only in every chapter, from Genesis to Revelation, from the very first book of the Bible to the very last. They saw Christ and Christ only in every chapter from Genesis to Revelation. And in doing that, Dr. Neal was very much like Dr. Luther, who said that the Scriptures are the manger where Christ is laid. Take Christ out of Scripture, and what more will you find in them? The Scriptures are the manger where Christ is laid. Take Christ out of Scripture, and what more will you find in them? Christ is the key to understanding the whole Bible, not only the New Testament, but also the Old Testament, because the whole Bible speaks of Christ. Well, how do we know that? We know that because the Lord Christ himself taught his disciples to understand the scriptures in this way, for St. Luke tells us that on the evening of that first Easter day, as Jesus walked with two disciples on the road to Emmaus, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And St. Luke also tells us that when later that same evening Jesus appeared to all the disciples, he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then St. Luke adds, "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures." And so it is the Lord Christ himself who teaches us that he is the key to understanding all the scriptures. And so in the great men of the Old Testament times, in its prophets, priests, and kings, and in the great temple in Jerusalem, we catch glimpses of Christ, who is himself the one true prophet, the one true priest, the one true king, and who is himself the living temple of God, where God dwells bodily. But what are we to make of all those terrible events recorded in the Old Testament? Those truly blood-curdling, hair-raising stories. Some of those war stories are so terrible that when the gospel was brought to the wild Germanic tribes, some Christian leaders, in fact, omitted the parts of the Old Testament that contained them. So what are we to make of all these terrible stories? The answer to that question is that in them we are shown beyond a shadow of a doubt, and as if we needed convincing in a world like this, in all that we are convinced of fallen humanity's desperate need for a Savior. And so we catch glimpses of Christ, even in such a truly gloomy Old Testament book as Ecclesiastes, with its exceedingly dreary refrain, "Vanity of vanities, and all is vanity," says the preacher. "Vanity of vanities, and all is vanity," says the preacher. But here we're shown the futility of life, apart from the new and eternal life that dawned from the open tomb, where the angel proclaimed, "He is not here, for he has risen as he said." In the words of St. Paul, "Whatever was written in former days," meaning the days before Christ's coming in Bethlehem, "whatever was written for our instruction, so that through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." That we might have hope. Note that St. Paul doesn't say, "written for my instruction, that I might have hope." No. He says, "written for our instruction, that we might have hope." And the point is this: And it is an absolutely necessary point. We can only rightly understand the scriptures when we read them not as isolated individuals in our own little world, but when we read them as members of Christ's church, and that includes not just the Christians who happen to be alive today, it includes those who are even more alive in God, all the saints in the light of paradise, who through their witness continue to guide us in the right understanding of the scriptures. The scriptures were written so that we might have hope. And so we read the scriptures not as isolated individuals, but as members of Christ's mystical body, the whole church, both in heaven and on earth. And that's why we have the creeds in which the whole church bears witness to Christ. Dr. Luther said, take Christ out of Scripture, and what more will you find in them? The Scriptures are the manger in which Christ is laid. Poor and lowly is the manger, but precious beyond measure, the treasure the manger contains. When John Mason Neal interpreted the scriptures, his hearers saw Christ and Christ only in every chapter from Genesis to Revelation. And it is when we forget that Christ is the content of scripture, what the scriptures are really all about, it's then that we're vulnerable to crackpots, to all kinds of confusion and erroneous notions that are here today and gone tomorrow. And of this you can be certain, any attempt to use the Holy Scriptures to justify any kind of oppression or cruelty is a sacrilegious misuse of the Holy Scriptures, whose whole purpose is to show us our merciful Savior. St. Paul says that whatever was written in former times was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of Scriptures, we might have hope, that the whole fallen world might have hope. In the epistle for this day, St. Paul shows how God fulfilled his promise to bring the light of Christ to the Gentiles, and Paul argues that because God faithfully fulfilled those promises, he will fulfill all his promises to us in his time and in his way. And because Christ is the content of the scriptures, the entire Bible is a book of hope, as St. Paul writes to the Colossian Christians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And hope is one of the great themes of this holy Advent season. To be sure, in the gospel read on this Sunday, the Lord Jesus does say, there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and upon earth the stress of nations in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and waves, men fainting with fear and foreboding of what is coming on the world. But the Savior goes on to say, now when these things begin to take place. When these things begin to take place, look up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And then you will see the Son of Man coming with power and great glory, coming again in glory to bring to completion that work of love begun in the stable at Bethlehem. And when seen in the light of the risen and coming Lord, all these terrible things are finally not the death throes of the world, but are in fact the birth pangs of the new creation of the risen Lord, who says, "Behold, I make all things new." And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.